Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, January 22nd, 2018. What's going on? How are you? How are you? How's it going? How's it going? All right. All right. Let's just get right down to it. The New England Patriots are going to the Super Bowl again. Super Bowl. Unfucking believable. How many times can they win games like that? It's incredible. I thought the officiating was great. Well, everything was great. Fantastic. I liked how it all washed out. I really enjoyed that referee laughing his ass off after we scored a touchdown. That was tremendous. I love everybody who saw that ref crack it up laughing, which you are not supposed to do, by the way, as a referee. And that guy will definitely get disciplined because what happens is every mouth-breathing moron goes, look, the game's fixed. He's laughing because they just, you know, like, which I understand. That is the knee-jerk reaction. But think about what you're saying. All right. Let's just say for the sake of argument that referee was on the take. All right. Which, you know, God knows I always said that about the NBA and then they caught that fucking guy. And everybody said I was nuts. All right. Put yourself in that guy's position. All right. Judging by his age, you probably... I'm going to assume he had a wife and kids. He's got a mortgage. He's got a house. And he's risking all of that and his freedom.
Freedom!
To fix an NFL game. Put yourself in that position. Are you going to be laughing when the team scores? Or are you going to be fucking stone-faced? Are you really going to be sitting there going, yeah, guys, just like we fucking said? You know? So I'm hoping the NFL films will come out just to hear whatever Patriots said that made him laugh, because he's going to get in trouble for that, because that opened this floodgate. Everybody was just saying, like, look at all the penalties on this side. I still don't like the ticky-tack pass interference stuff. However, having said all of that, you know, I think the Jaguars' defense was a little overrated. Everybody kept talking about how fucking great their defense was, and completely ignored that the week before they gave up 42 fucking points to the Steelers in the playoffs when it counted. Everyone just kept talking about how great their fucking defense. Their defense is that. The only reason why nobody really fucking brought that up was because they fucking, their offense scored 45 points. So, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck to tell you about that great Jaguar defense. They also played in a weak division. They beat the Colts twice. That's why I don't... This is my deal, okay? I'm not saying they don't have a... They actually do have a great defense, but they're young. And they do dumb things like take stupid penalties right before the half when the home team, who's favored, has only scored 3 points. That fucking helmet-to-helmet hit, by the way... Stupid fucking penalty, big chunk of yards, and then you take a fucking bonehead pass interference call on the next play. And you basically give the Patriots a touchdown, you give them fucking hope, and then also your great defense gives up 2 touchdowns in the final fucking 6 minutes. So I don't know what to tell you. There was a brutal hold call on the final important offensive play of the game. I will give you that, but okay, let's say they call holding there. We're going to run it the next play. You guys are going to burn your last time out. We're going to kick the ball. You're going to be down on the 10 fucking yard line. And you're telling me with a minute and change, Blake Bortles is going to run the length of the fuck. I mean, it could happen. It could fucking happen, but I don't know. I don't know. But anyways, that's why I don't give a shit about, you know, regular season stats. You know? I mean, okay, here's the thing. Pumping up the fucking Jaguars defense. Regular season. They beat the Colts without Andrew Luck, 27-0. They beat the Browns and only gave up 7 fucking points. They beat the Colts again, 30-10. They beat the Texans, 45-7. These are all fucking teams that you're not going to see in January. All right? But if you go through their fucking season... They played the Titans twice, a playoff team. They lost to them both times. Led up 37 fucking points and had a close game at the end of the year. They played the Rams that were a playoff team. They lost to them. The only playoff team that I'm looking here real quick that they beat was the Pittsburgh Steelers. Beat them 30-9. And then they met them in the playoffs and they let up 42 fucking points. So, I don't know. I mean, how much more advantage could that defense have? I mean, Edelman wasn't in the game, our number one receiver. Our next number one option was Rob Gronkowski, and you knocked him out, you know, on a helmet-to-helmet hit that if a Patriot did it, would have been viewed as like the, like you killed Christ or something. But whatever, it was a great game. Jaguars should have won the game. I just thought they were too young and didn't know how to win the game, didn't know how to put the Patriots away. And I don't know. And Tom Brady's Tom Brady. Not to mention, Tom Brady also had like, I don't know what the fuck happened. Guy cut his fucking hand. We have an almost 41-year-old quarterback with the fucking stitches in his throwing hand. Edelman is out, and you knock out Gronkowski. And I don't want to hear, well, Gronkowski wasn't doing shit. Gronkowski does something on every play. He draws double coverage, and you didn't have to fucking deal with that anymore. So I don't know what the fuck to tell you. I do feel bad for Jaguar fans because, you know, that's a fucking football city that nobody seems to give a shit about. You know what I mean? I like the Jags. You know what? I've actually come around in those helmets, too. So it was a great fucking game. The Patriots are limping into the Super Bowl and should be underdogs, but won't be. Because every mouth-breathing moron who doesn't know shit about football will put money on the Patriots. For somehow we will be... I mean, the Eagles just look like fucking world beaters. They have an amazing defense. They have two fucking beasts. They have proles and fucking... Malcolm Blunt, I mean, I don't know why the fuck we ever got rid of him. I'm sure there was a reason for it. But, yeah, I mean, the Eagles should be favorites. But they won't be just historically because they've never fucking won it. And we've won a lot. So so then if we lose, it's going to be like an unbelievable upset. What does this say about Brady's legacy? We shall see. We shall see. And I feel bad for... New England fans that are going to go to that game with the behavior of Eagles fans and all of that shit. And, you know, I saw some of the footage. Some of the shit was funny, but like, I don't know. Philly fans, they, you know what they act like? Do you remember when you didn't know how to talk to women, so you just fucking went out and did crazy shit every weekend, hoping that the women would then hear the story and be like, oh, that's the guy I want to go out with? I just don't get it, man. I just don't, you know, fucking Vikings fans. Oh, hey, how are you? How you doing? Like the fucking nice Midwest people. You're throwing full beers at them. I don't know. But on the other side, it's just like, you know, that's what you're going to get. Why the fuck would you wear your Vikings gear to the goddamn game? But that's really getting played out, showing that type of shit. And they did the classic thing, too. You know, it's funny with every like NFL city, they have like the story. Like whenever there's a game in Boston, they have to play that stupid fucking Departed music. I'm shipping up to Boston and I lost me leg. And then they're going to show Paul Revere and all this Freedom Trail shit that nobody gives a fuck about who lives in Boston. I walk by that fucking statue a million times. I never look at it. And I don't eat clam chowder. Anytime Philly plays in a major sporting event, at some point, some fucking douche is going to try to teach you how to order a Philly cheesesteak. It's like, we got it. Give me a whiz wit. Give me one without. Don't say Philly cheesesteak. You're in Philly. You could literally walk up there to any fucking cheesesteak place in Philadelphia and be like, I would like a cheesesteak with onions and peppers and provolone cheese. And you're going to get it because at the end of the day, they're a fucking business and they need your money. They always do that. They show the fucking Rocky statue and then they bring up the fact that they threw fucking batteries at Santa Claus. As if that is the only fucking thing that has ever happened in Philadelphia. Why don't they ever reenact Ben Franklin flying that fucking stupid kite with the key on it, right? Why don't they bring up the 83 Philadelphia 76ers, the most underrated fucking championship team of all time, who I've said forever that I would put up against the 96 Bulls, okay? I would take Dr. J and fucking Andrew Toney to fucking knock down a lot of what Jordan and fucking, what's his face are going to do? Scottie Pippen. And then underneath, you got fucking Moses Malone one-on-one against Luke Longley. I'm not saying they would have won. I'm saying, you know, be a hell of a fucking series. Anyways, congratulations to the fucking Eagles. What a game. Good Lord. They gave the Vikings the old right there, Fred. I bet there was a lot of Vikings fans wishing that they just fucking lost to the Saints after that beatdown. They took them right across their fucking lap, spanked their fanny. Is it weird that, I mean, as much as I love the Vikings, I kind of was rooting for the Eagles just because, I don't know. Case Keenum. I just can't get past that name. Case Keenum. It just makes me feel so fucking old. Somebody named a kid Case. Couldn't just name him Robert. Sorry, I'm being a cunt. So anyways, if you are a Patriots fan, yeah, just know that, you know, it's going to be a terrible fan experience. Because nobody does anything about that level of fucking ridiculous behavior. And I think at this point, they get so much fucking hype out of how bad they behave. They're like trying to outdo one another. Like, you remember a few years ago, there was like some off-duty cop went to like a Phillies game and this guy was swearing and shit behind him. And he goes, "Hey, take it easy. I got my kid here." And the guy put his fingers down his throat and threw up on the guy's kid. I mean, at that point, it's just like, you're just doing that just to do it, right? I don't know. So anyway, so now we're going to have to sit through fucking two goddamn weeks of them talking about fucking throwing batteries at Santa Claus and showing the fucking Paul Revere statue, and I'm shipping up to Boston and I lost me leg. I don't know. I think the Eagles are an overwhelming favorite. If people knew how to gamble on football, I would think. But that's not how it works. But I think it's definitely, it's the Eagles' game to fucking lose. I might be crazy, but that's definitely what I think. But all right, so there you go. There's my football talk. Condolences to the fucking Jaguars and Vikings fans. Hey, you know what I'm actually excited to watch is that thing where they have, it's on Thursday on CBS about the NFL players, like who's like the most, who's like basically whatever your hobby is. They got guys in the NFL playing drums, guitar, cooking and shit. I actually want to watch that because I want to see how good the football player drummers are. How stupid is that, right? Oh, whatever. You got 1,000 fucking channels. You got to find something to watch, right? Anyways, did you guys see that fucking, the fuck is that 1 year anniversary? I forgot. Remember that lady when Trump got in who was just screaming no? I don't understand that type of protest to do something like that. Because I think a lot of people were thinking that. But to literally do what that woman did makes anybody who doesn't like Trump look like a fucking lunatic. You know, there's so much just weird shit like that. Like I saw last night, the SAG Awards had all women presenters. I just fucking, for the fucking life of me, who comes up with this shit? All of it just seems like self-preservation to me, and none of it seems like you're actually going to work on the problem. Like that's all the SAG Awards have to fucking do is just have all female presenters. And be like, yeah, see that? They're all good people over there. They get it. It's a show of solidarity. It's a show of strength. I don't know. I think it's a pretty weak fucking effort. You know, we're going to wear all black tuxedos. We're going to have all female presenters. There we go. We've been vetted. I hate that word, by the way. Yeah, that's just the whole fucking thing. It's just, I mean, who is pro sexual harassment? Why would you need to go that much out of your way to do something as silly as that, which in a lot of ways is kind of reverse sexist, isn't it? I don't know. Here's one fucking thing about this. This is the only business I know about. It's this business that I'm in. This business is fucking brutal. And it routinely picks people up and slams them against the pavement emotionally every fucking day, regardless of what's between you, between your legs. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm trying to say here. I just look at it and I'm like, well, if they just decided they were going to have all male presenters, that would be considered the most sexist thing ever. And then on the other side, if you want all this fucking, all these creeps, well, let's be specific, only the male creeps in Hollywood, if you want all of them out, I don't know that that's the fucking way to do it. If that's an effective way to do it. Everywhere, buddy wears the same colored shirt and you have all women presenters. You know, I don't have a degree in fighting crime, whatever that degree is. But I don't think same colored shirts is going to do it. We have to stop ISIS. Okay, everybody wear blue shirts on Tuesday. He's not wearing a blue shirt. Does that mean he's in ISIS?
It's not what it is, Bill. It's symbolism. It's a sign of strength. Oh, Jesus.
All right, maybe that is what it is. I have no fucking idea. This is why I watch sports. I watch fucking sports. So once again, the New England Patriots, they're in their 10th fucking Super Bowl. They have a chance to win their 6th Super Bowl. Literally what Tom Brady, Belichick, and these guys are doing. As much as you guys fucking hate them, and every fucking time we win a game, there's some giant goddamn conspiracy because nobody will give it up that they're a fucking great team. What they've done at this point has transcended the game of football. All right, you got to put them up there with like the fucking, I would say the Yankees from DiMaggio to Mickey Mantle. That run there with the amount of World Series that they went to, the amount that they won. The Canadians back in the day, the Celtics in the 60s. I mean, that's literally what you're watching. And for them to be doing it now, you know, the reason why that never happens anymore is because now there's like 30 fucking teams in every, basically every sport. It's just too difficult to do, and somehow they are doing it. So as much as you hate them, can you at least give it up on that? Or are you just going to, I don't know, are we going to start weighing footballs again and fucking, I don't know. All right. Speaking of the Canadians, hey, how you guys doing up there in Montreal? Huh? You watch any Bruins-Canadiens games lately? We beat them 3 times in the last 8 days. And the only reason why I know that is because Joe Bartnick from the Great Puck Off podcast told me. I've been so goddamn busy. I only watched the first period of one of the games. I've missed so much Bruins hockey, and I know they're playing great. And they're on this amazing streak. And pretty excited that they beat the Canadiens 3 times in the last 8 games. I know I have all the games taped, so I'm gonna have to watch them in like one period segments now because I got the kiddo at home. But having said that, everybody knows the regular season doesn't mean shit. Regular season stats. Just go back to somebody's schedule and look at what they did against playoff teams. And even then, I think in football, it gives you a little bit more of a gauge. But like in basketball, baseball, and hockey, I don't think it means shit. Because on any given night, they play so many games, any team can beat another team. But winning in the playoffs and winning 4 out of 7, it's a whole different ball game. So I just wish more announcers would do that shit. You know what I mean? Look at the division. Like, look at the Patriots. For how many years we've gotten all these double-digit wins? The fucking AFC East has been so goddamn weak so many years. So many years, like the Jets, who who, by the way, beat the Jaguars in the regular season. The Jets fucking suck. The Dolphins have sucked, and the Bills have sucked. So many of those years gives them, you know, or at least mediocre. And that has given us 5 to 6 wins every fucking year. Anyway, all right, I'm done. I'm done with the goddamn sports. Let's talk about, is that my daughter over there? It was my daughter's first birthday this past weekend. I can't believe it. She's already one. She's no longer a baby. She's a toddler, which is pretty amazing. And I got to be honest with you, it's a little sad. You know what I mean? She's now motoring around the house. And I don't know. It's already going by way too fast. And so anyways, it was her birthday, right? So I decided, you know, every year for her birthday as a dad, I'm going to make her a homemade cake. And I did it. And we had like, Nia invited all of these people. Like, it's weird. Like all of our friends, a bunch of our friends, I should say, had kids in like the last year, like the last 3 years. So we had 16 little kids over here, plus their parents. And a few of them brought friends. Like we had like a, we had a house party, but it was just kids. It was awesome. The kids were, it was amazing, man. It just blew my mind. Cause I was sitting there, there was like 30 people in my house at least. And I remember standing there thinking like, wow, like literally like a year and a half ago, this would have been a bunch of guys sitting here smoking cigars out on the back porch, drinking booze. And now I got all these kids running around, all of this stuff. And I got to tell you, after watching all the kids, I'm kind of psyched I had a daughter. Dude, little girls are amazing. They're like little adults. They sit there. They're emotionally stable. The little boys, they're fucking lunatics. They're running all over the place. I got this fountain out in my front yard, and I know that sounds, wow, Bill. Wow, you got a fountain in your front yard. You know what I would say about our fountain? Go back and watch that Fred Armisen sketch on SNL when he does the thing. Marble columns. When they were talking about putting marble columns on the front of split entry houses. I hate this fucking fountain. I've never liked it. It's just a giant, it's like a fucking, it's just a giant place for mosquitoes to fuck in and give us West Nile virus. You know what I mean? But they give you, then you've got to buy these little fucking donuts of poison that you throw in there, and then a bird comes by and drinks out of it, and then the bird dies. So I never have any water in there. So these boys run out there. They're climbing up on the fucking thing. I'm having a panic attack that one of them's going to fall down. You get them off of that. Then they're throwing rocks down into the driveway, hitting the cars. they're little kids. So I mean, I didn't get upset, but I was just like, wow, man, this is, having a girl is a lot easy on the parenting thing. I mean, they sit down, they're like chill, they're thinking, you know, the boys are just like hilarious. I don't know. If you turn your back, one of them's going to be, I got an idea. What if I jump through the screen door? So, I don't know. Made me feel lucky again. So everybody gathers around to sing happy birthday. And I got this cake that I made. And I've never made a cake before. And I didn't try it out. I didn't want to test a slice and have a giant slice taken out. So I was basically going to have 30 people all taste the cake in front of me. And I was waiting for this tastes like shit. The cake's too dry or whatever. But fortunately, everybody seemed to like the cake. And after that, the whole party was downhill. That was like the big thing. I was just like, I just have to get past. I got to get on the other side of the cake here. People eat the cake and they actually like it. God knows if my wife didn't like it, she would have let me know. You know? Well, in fact, she did try the frosting the night before, and she let me know that she thought it could have been a little more chocolate. It just tastes sweet. I just wish there was more cocoa in it. You know what I mean? And I just went like, yeah, and then had like a full-on fucking panic attack. You know? It's like, why would you tell me that? You know I'm stressing about this shit. I don't know. That's what they do. That's what they do. What would they be doing if they weren't fucking criticizing us? Why can't there be an award show about that, where they protest the lack of compliments a man gets the second he marries a woman? I don't give a shit if my wife cooked a shoe. How does it taste, Bill? Oh, it's delicious. Can I have more of the laces? It's almost like pasta, except they're shoelaces. You know, put on a fucking brave face. Do you know how many times I've made something? Okay, I've made my wife dinner, and she's bit the first bite she bites into, she goes, mm-mm. And then she runs over and grabs some salt or something like that. Or just like, if I ever fucking, a few times I've ever done that. I did it, for the first time since I can ever remember, I did it this year. And it was just one of those nights, it was late night. And she was tired, and she just went to the fridge. And she usually can look in there and figure something out. And this time she just didn't, and threw it together, and it wasn't good. And she was like, how is it? I didn't say anything. I just kind of gave her a look like, eesh. And then she was just like, you don't like it? You think it's bad? And then immediately I had to be like, no, it's good. It's good. It's just, you know, you've made better. You know, and then you just falling down the fucking hole. You're like, why was I honest? She does it to me all the fucking time. I thought this was a little dry. I thought this was, yeah, it's like a fuck. I feel like I'm on the Iron Chef whenever I put something on the fucking table. I mean, I'm literally talking like oatmeal. Like if I put too much milk in there, she'd be like, it's too soupy. And I want to be like, you know what? If it wasn't as hot as it is, if oatmeal wasn't as hot as it is, I would literally dump that over your fucking head. All right. What are you like a food critic? This is actually making me upset. What kind of a fucking person? Another person makes them a meal and all you do is criticize it. How about you at least go, hey, I really appreciated that you took the time out to make me a meal. That's one of the most kindest, loving things that one human being could do for another human being. Having said that, I like a little bit less milk. There's no way to criticize it without coming off like a jerk. Just in the future, just to let you know, I like a little less milk. By the way, making a homemade cake, not that hard. It's not that hard. Don't be intimidated. It's easy. Making a pie, the pie crust, that's a fucking art. Making a cake, not that fucking hard. I made a 3-layer cake, and what's going to happen is each layer is going to be a it was really hard to try to make them level. I don't know how to do that yet. I'm sure there's something I can watch on YouTube. But when you go to make it, if, you know, each layer of cake, you know, if one's leaning to the left, the other's leaning to the right, you just spin them around. You put them together like Legos and know that you're going to have frosting in the middle where you can kind of level it out and no one's going to notice. My cake had a little lean to it. Nothing crazy. Probably the hardest thing is frosting the cake. I started to watch videos on that, but it was just too fucking boring. And there was all this playoff football on. I wanted to watch that. So I probably could have done a better job with that. I don't know. I'll ask my wife. God knows she'll fucking tell me, right? But enough with me complaining about her complaining, right? I should be secure enough in my own baking skills. No, you did this one wrong. You know, I was trying to, because I didn't have a lot of shit to talk about this week. Other than just being completely blown away that my daughter's already a year old. I can't believe it. And I got her up this morning, you know, and I just couldn't believe how big she was. And I was already thinking, like, she used to be able to fit, like, her head would go from my elbow, not even to the tips of my fingers. Like, I could just hold her just like that. Now she's huge. What happened? You know, there's nothing. I can now see why people have a bunch of kids, because you keep wanting to hit reset. There's nothing better than having a baby around your house. It's the greatest. It's like a puppy times a million. But what is cool is she's starting to talk. So I'm waiting for these the conversations, because some of the kids, my God, they were hilarious. There was this little boy, right? And he was talking to this. They wanted to see, like, outside my house, like along the side. So I go, all right, I'll take you over there. Just be careful because, you know, there's all these concrete steps and shit. I don't want somebody falling down. So he points to the side of the house. He goes, what's this? And I go, oh, that's the back of the chimney. And, you know, he's a little kid. He goes, what's that? And then the little girl answers. She goes, that's where Santa Claus comes down and the smoke goes up when you have a fire. And then I think the little kid liked the girl. And he goes, he says to me, he goes, does she live here? And I started to answer. And the girl once again answered the question. She goes, no. She goes, I live out in the desert. And the boy goes, in the sand? She goes, no. What the heck? Kid was bombing. I was pulling for him. I was like, oh, you know, say something funny. Make her laugh. Whatever. I just liked that he was working on his game at like 4 years of age. Which reminded me, when I was a little kid, I liked this girl who lived in my neighborhood. So I just went over her house. Not even invited. I just went over her house, knocked on the door. I think her name was Michelle. I knocked on the door and her mom answers. I was like, yeah, hey, is Michelle home? She goes, yeah, she's in there watching TV. And I go, okay. So I went in there. And I sat down and watched TV with her mother, and I think her younger sibling. And I never said a word for like an hour. I just sat there watching TV because I didn't know, you know, I didn't know what to do. And then I just got up and left. I always wondered what that woman was thinking. Like, this little redheaded boy came over to visit our daughter today, honey. He came in, he didn't say a word, and then he left. He's an odd little fella. Anyways, all right, let me read a little bit of advertising here for this week. All right, Dollar Shave Club, dude. Oh, I remember there was another girl I had a crush on. There was these two twins when I was in first grade, and I had a crush on one of them. And the other one had this giant pen, which I thought was the coolest thing ever, even though it was pink. It was just a giant pen, which was amazing in the early 70s. Like, where there was no fucking computers and shit. I guess there were, but computers were gigantic. So she dropped it on the floor, and she didn't realize it, and I took it. And then I started writing with it. And what's funny was the way they had the desk set up. They had, like, us in, like, little groups of four, and we faced each other. And she was diagonal to me, and I'm writing with this giant pink pen. And she's going, that's my pen. And I was like, no, it isn't. It's mine. So she's like an idiot. And then she tells the teacher. And then she's going, Billy, is that your pen? And I was like, yes. And then the girl's going, no, it was my pen. And I was going, no, it isn't. It's my pen. And then the teacher's just like, I don't think your mom would buy you a pink pen. And she took it and gave it back to the girl. And, you know, as a little kid, like, the embarrassment of that goes away like 8 seconds later. You can't even remember, like, you know, you don't have like the mental capacity to be like, did I just really try to pull that off? You know, why the fuck would I do that? Right. So then I remember I went out, asked, I had to go to the bathroom. So I went out to the bathroom, and her twin sister, the one I had the crush on. Oh, this was like the next day. I went out to go to the bathroom, and her twin sister, who I had a crush on, came walking out at the same time. And when she saw me, she immediately put her eyebrows down. She goes, I heard what you did. I heard you try to steal my sister's pen. And I just looked at her. I think I said, no, I didn't. And I just walked away. And that was the end of that romance. Oh, there's a lot of sad stories. All right. Dollar Shave Club, everybody. Everyone knows Dollar Shave Club ships amazing razors for a few bucks. What you might not know is that Dollar Shave Club also has products for pretty much everything else you need in the bathroom. By the way, I was in first grade when that happened. I should think I was some weirdo in like the fifth grade stealing pink pens. All right, body wash, shampoo, hair gel, lip balm, everything. For a limited time, Dollar Shave Club is basically giving away their Shit Shower Shave starter set to new members for only $5. This starter set features their executive razor and three trial size versions of their most popular products that help you stay fresh, so fresh and so clean. In your first box, you will receive their shave butter, body wash, and one wipe Charlie butt wipes. You will also receive their executive razor, which includes their premium weighty handle and full cassette of cartridges. After the first box, replacement cartridges are sent for only a few bucks a month. This offer is exclusively available at dollarshaveclub.com/burr. That's dollarshaveclub.com/burr. Dollar Shave Club's high quality products will have you covered from face cheeks to butt cheeks. There is no better time to try the club. You know what's funny? The only time I notice I have my Invisalign in at this point is when I go to read this copy. I already suck at reading out loud, but I become this mush-mouth jackass. By the way, I'm on train number 7 of 16. Wednesday, I go to train number 8, and I'll be fucking halfway done. Well, a week from now, I'll be halfway done. And I got to tell you, I'm happy that I'm doing it. Happy that I'm doing it. You know, then all I got to do for the rest of my life is at night, you throw in a little fucking mouth guard to keep your teeth where they are, and I'll have nice teeth like Farrah Fawcett. You know, all fucking white, you know, my skin just gets older and older. You know, people keep their teeth looking nice and young. So it looks like LED lights coming out of your old fucking pruned up face. All right, Movement Watches, everybody, MVMT. And it's that time of year when you can say, I'd like a nice watch for no money. All right, and it's that time of year again. You thought gift-giving was all over after Christmas, but Valentine's Day is coming up. And you know what that means? That means the guy has to spend money and the woman does not. Even though it's both of your relationships, right? It's both of your relationship, I should say. I mean, if we really want to have everything equal, how about every other year? The lady pays for it, right? Takes you out for a steak dinner. Okay, blows you in the back of the Uber on the way home. Just, you know, make an effort, ladies. Just make an effort. But Valentine's Day is coming up, so you know you must find the perfect gift. You know what I love about the fact that I'm already married is I don't have to deal with the pressure of this fucking horse shit anymore. You know what I mean? That whole, where is this relationship going? Oh, shut up! Shut the fuck up. Talk about how you may have procrastinated in the past or your own experience with how hard finding the perfect Valentine's Day gift can be. Well, you know, who the fuck knows what a woman wants, right? Jesus Christ, that changes every 5 seconds, and God knows it's going to be expensive. What if you don't have a lot of money and the woman you're with, you're just sort of banging? Then you're not sure if you're going to marry her, but you got to get her something nice so she'll keep touching it, right? Wouldn't it be nice if you could buy her a nice watch, but not break the bank? Our friends at Movement Watches, the ones who revolutionized the watch game, have put together the perfect gift guide to make your life easy. Whether you're shopping for him or her, bah-ha-ha! Yeah, like what women, all they're worried about is what the fuck they're wearing on this. I really don't like this holiday. By the way, don't go out on the 14th. Go out on the 15th when prices come back down to what they should be. Whether you're shopping for him or her, want watches, or their new fashion-forward bracelets, sunglasses, or any combination in their limited edition gift box, MVMT, Movement Watch, Movement's in-house stylists have curated, the most overly used fucking word ever, curated their trendiest pieces for gift ideas your special someone will love. Talk about how you experience. Now what do I have to talk about? Talk about how you experience shopping the site, looking for gifts for others, Movement, new watch styles for her, sunglasses and braces. I haven't gone to the website. All right? I'm married. Okay? Which means I have to go for something more than this. More high-end than Movement fucking watches. I wish Movement Watches was around when I was single. Would I be surfing their fucking website right now. Movement and their stylists have curated, once again, they used the word again, an interactive gift guide to make Valentine's shopping painless. Well, someone should have vetted this copy to make sure you didn't use that word twice. You can find the perfect gift for him or her, watches, bracelets, and sunglasses, or any combination of these gifts in a limited edition gift box. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movementwatches.com/burr. Go to movement.com/burr. Join the movement. You know what's amazing, by the way, is evidently the government shut down and everything still seems to be working. LegalZoom. Now that the New Year's madness is over, it's time to work on your story for 2018. Work on your story, okay? LegalZoom can help you make this year you finally get serious about launching and running your own business. They can also help you rest a little easier knowing that your family's future is squared away with the right estate plan. I finally did this shit, by the way. I finally did this, so my family's okay. They're gonna be okay. You gotta do it. You gotta fucking do it. All right? As a matter of fact, LegalZoom has been helping people just like you take care of their dreams and responsibilities for more than 16 years. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but they have the resources. And ladies, don't be afraid to do this yourself, too. You know what I mean? Be nice if when you guys kick the bucket, we got a little do-re-mi. LegalZoom is not a law firm, and they have the resources to keep you on the right path, including advice from their nationwide network of independent attorneys, all at your fingertips. Whether you want to take your business to the next level or take control of your family's future with an estate plan, LegalZoom plugs right into your life without billing you by the hour, because LegalZoom, all pricing is given up front. Start writing your 2018 story at LegalZoom.com now. And for a special savings, be sure to enter the promo code BURR in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. That's LegalZoom.com. And finally, lastly but not leastly, Stamps.com. Here's a New Year's resolution you can actually keep. Add Stamps.com to your business and save a shit ton of money this year. Almost everything you can do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. Other than expose yourself in public. Because you won't be in public. You'll be in the privacy of your own home. So have your junk out while you do this. Plus, Stamps.com is postage discounts you can get. You can't get at the post office. Not to mention it's a fraction of the cost of those super expensive postage meters. Stamps.com sends you a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage. You will never overpay or underpay for postage again. Got the hiccups here. Create your Stamps.com account in minutes. Online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. Keyword descriptors. Oh, this Stamps.com is convenient. It's easy. It's reliable and efficient. I use Stamps.com anytime I send my posters. You know, if I'm going to sell my posters out, you know, at the end of my shows. What am I trying? When I whore myself out, I'm going to sell posters at the end of the show. I use Stamps.com to get them there. And I'm a moron, so if I can figure it out, so can you. Do not be intimidated by this technology. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. Ready for a happier new year? Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in BURR. That's Stamps.com. Enter BURR. Ba-doop-ba-doop-boop. Here's the story of a bald-head freckled cunt. All right, let's read some questions here for the week. And let's get going. Billy, you stupid L.A. cunt. All right, here we go. You never mentioned why exactly you moved to L.A. I didn't know I was required to. Why did you move to L.A.? I just listened to you and Jim Florin cunt. / Florentine, he said. And Florentine said he didn't see a difference with comedians in New York City. I find it hard to imagine that L.A. Oh, God, this guy. I find it hard to imagine. I'm just going to read exactly what he wrote. I find it hard to imagine that L.A. there are a lot less cunts in the audience that get offended too easily. You then agreed with Jim that maybe it's because you now live there and are used to it. But the way you said it didn't seem believable. So what's the deal? All right. Like, there wasn't one capital letter. No punctuation whatsoever. A couple of periods, maybe. I'm not required to tell you why I fucking moved out here, but I will, to eat up some time. I was living in New York. I was just sick of being there. It just gets a point where, you know, you get to be too old and you're like, I can't live like an animal anymore, which means you're either going to move outside the city or, in my business, you're going to go to L.A. And I had nothing going on in my career other than the Opie and Anthony show. But the writing was on the wall with that show where, you know, those guys, like, they had a bunch of comics on, and I was one of them. Jim Norton got us all in, and, you know, there was no money in the budget to pay us, but the way that they paid us, Opie and Anthony show, because they're the salt of the fucking earth, they used to run advertisements of our gigs, and then our gigs would sell out, and it was great. But then the corporate cunts there said that they couldn't do it anymore. You know, so then you kind of had to hype your show during the show, which would get in the way of, you know, whatever craziness was going on. So that's kind of where my career was at. I was on a radio show and I wasn't getting paid. I wasn't getting any acting work. And the only way I was getting paid on the Opie and Anthony show, they no longer let them do. For whatever reason, which is really short-sighted on Sirius XM's side, because Opie and Anthony were this launching pad for stand-up careers, and they were making, like, they made us become like these draws. And then that would then feed back into the show, because then these people who were selling all these tickets were like, hey, I'm going to be in the Opie and Anthony show. So it totally fucking worked. It was the perfect fucking relationship for about 3 years. And then, like, what always happens is the money people come in and they fuck the whole thing up. So, I mean, that's not the only reason I was leaving, but that's basically, that was as high up as I got in New York. I was on a radio show not getting paid. That's the best I could do. I had already done an episode of Law and Order, so, you know, and I couldn't get on The Sopranos because that was a bunch of Italians and I look like fucking, you know, Billy Redface over here. So there was like no opportunity left for me, and I was going down to the Comedy Cellar like every single night, and it was like Groundhog Day. And I just, you know, and I went out to L.A., and I hated L.A., and I just came out here, and I started, each time I went out, I was starting to like it, and I was fighting that feeling. And I don't know. I just said, fuck it one day. It's like, you know what? I wouldn't mind living in an apartment, paying a ton of money, but I could actually have, like, a couch that also wasn't my bed. I wouldn't mind having a car. I moved out here. I had this apartment. It was still a one bedroom, but I had front and back stairs. The back stairs I did share with my neighbor, but still, that was amazing to me. And I had a garage where I could park my car. And even though the traffic was fucking horrific, just the fact that I could live a little more like a human being again, was appealing. And then there was a ton of acting work out here that I could potentially get. And I moved out here, and within the first year, I got on Breaking Bad. So that's why I came out here. But I do have to tell you that I thought when I came out here that the comedy scene was horrific. So what I was trying to say on the podcast is when I go back to New York now, I think it's just changed, but because I'm not there every day, I noticed the change. And out here last night, you know, I was telling a couple of jokes and there was silence. So maybe that's what it was. I don't know why you took it so, so personally, but that is a big fucking thing. The whole East Coast, West Coast thing. I do, however, I'm one of those weird people that I do love both coasts, but, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of out here right now. I used to think like I'll always move back, but now I don't know that I will. Who knows? I don't fucking know. I have no idea. I was kind of thinking with global warming, eventually I was going to have to move back there, but now it seems like it's going to be all crazy weather. So the fact that it was hot out here, now it's going to be extremely hot. And the fact that it was cold back there, now it's going to be extremely fucking cold. And I don't know. I did like 40-something winners back east. Okay, I put my time in. All right? I'd rather shovel out of a mudslide than the snow. So there you go. All right. All right, Bill. My problems with women. This is funny. He wrote, my problems with woman. My problems with woman. Dear Billsbury Doughboy. Oh, I love that one. All right. I'm a huge fan from, I don't even know how to say this. F-E-R-M-A-N-A-G-H. Fermanagh. Nog? I don't know. Ireland. Ireland. I'm 17 years old and have always been a fat cunt. Well, that's good, man. You're looking at yourself honestly. Now, let's what can we do about this? Recently, I lost the weight and started getting into the gym. There you go. I'm now 6'1 and 200 pounds, so naturally have started getting more female attention. All right, this is all good. I was never been successful with women, but now I'm turning this franchise around. There you go. Well, dude, you're only 17. You're just getting out of the gate here. My only problem is I'm a quiet guy and don't know how to talk to them. They seem to just want to talk about bullshit or gossip and meaningless crap. Oh, God. Dude, you can't be this cynical at 17. You sound like me right now, and I'm going to be 50. I try and be funny and make them laugh, which can only get me so far. I can't maintain a relationship because they open their mouths and I contemplate suicide. Jesus. You sound like a writer. Are you creative or something? Or you think too much? I consider myself a straightforward, no BS kind of guy, but I'm just a wanker. Is this a problem with me or them? I don't hate women. I just don't get along with them. If possible, I would love to hear what Nia has to say. Oh, she wouldn't like how you worded all of this. Thanks, Bill, and go fuck yourself. P.S. If you're getting into soccer, I suggest you support either Tottenham or Liverpool, as they have young, exciting teams and aren't soulless corporate entities like Chelsea or Man City. Oh, I didn't know that. All right. I'll support Liverpool then. That's where the Beatles are from, right? I don't fucking know. Well, anyways. All right. What's your problem? I don't know. I think you're a little defensive. I think you're a little insecure, so you're kind of projecting it on them. I know that that's what I did. So I would say open yourself up a little bit more and, you know, realize how amazing they are. But women are just like men. A good one is hard to find. Good woman, hard to find. So you're only 17, dude. And I think also trying to make them laugh is always a good thing. And, what I've learned is a lot of times they just want you to listen and they don't want you to try to solve their problems. So just, you know, when they tell a story, hold both their hands and be like, oh my God. I don't know. Why would you ask me? Like, I know anything about women? Jesus Christ, they fucking hate me. My fan base is a fucking sausage fest. I got to give you more advice than that. Yeah, dude, this is a weakness of mine, understanding women. I have no idea. You just basically, I don't know. It's like writing Charlie Manson, being like, hey, how do I get along with people a little more better? He's probably a bad example, right? Didn't he just die? What a fucking life, huh? What a fucking life. I just can't imagine spending that much time in jail. Like, you're never getting out again. You're in your 30s. You're never getting out again. Like, how are you not just sitting there like, really? You got to be fucking kidding me. Fascinating guy. And in all the wrong reasons. Like, you really, that guy literally never committed, as far as we know, never committed a murder. But was such a fucking lunatic. I remember seeing a horror movie where all a guy had to do was just whisper in somebody's ear or something like that, and then they just fucking would just do whatever the guy said. Just had that ability, like literally the fucking devil. He spent his whole life, you know, just imagine if he ever, you know, if he got Mickey Dolenz's part on the Monkees. It's unreal. If somebody liked Hitler's drawings. That's why you have to encourage people. All right, Westerns, everybody. Dear Billy Sundance. Billy the Sundance, okay. I've been just getting into Western. I wasn't a huge fan as a kid. I was more into space and futuristic stuff. But as I round my mid-20s and I'm living more of a loner life, I'm starting to connect more. I'm really looking forward to the new Christian Bale movie, Hostiles. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to see that. I hope I said that correctly. Because I loved 310 to Yuma. I love the original, too. My other favorites are Tombstone and Butch Cassidy. I was hoping to hear which one your favorites are and get some recommendations to watch while I'm snowed in for the next 4 days. All the best to you and your family. I would say the Clint Eastwoods, the Spaghetti Westerns. Fistful of Dollars, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. He had like a trilogy of those. The Outlaw Josie Wales. You know, I hate to say this, but I've never seen The Unforgiven. That was right when I started doing stand-up, and I just started missing out on shit. I like those. The Wild Bunch. Let's see. The Magnificent Seven. The original Westworld. There's one that combines futuristic shit there. Sci-fi and westerns. Yul Brynner is incredible in that. Yul Brynner, one of my favorites of all time. Not because he's bald like me, but I just thought he was the shit. I never saw Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Yeah, I think that I would say that was all of them. I was never quite into the John Wayne ones. Those ones were too far back in the day. I liked the ones from like the 60s. I liked those, and I liked all the war movies. Kelly's Heroes, Dirty Dozen, Bridge Over the River Kwai, all of that shit. So those are my recommendations. I would go with the Clint Eastwood Spaghetti Westerns. All right. My life's fucked. My fucked life. Sorry. My fucked life. This sounds like a sitcom, right? Oh, fuck. The battery. Did the battery just die? Oh, the battery's gonna die. Oh, fuck. I got to wrap this up. All right. My fucked life. Hey, if I don't get through all this, thank you to everybody for listening. And once again, congratulations to the Patriots and the Eagles, and congratulations to the Jaguars and the Vikings on 2 great seasons, all right? 4 great seasons there, all right? My fuck life. Dear Bill and Nia, I'm 17 and still in high school. I'm in a bit of a pickle. What the fuck is wrong with this thing? It keeps beeping. I think I'm falling for my best friend. I realized after we were falling asleep at her house, she had just taken off her makeup and made a joke like, sorry, I look so bad. But when I looked at her, I thought she looked so beautiful and cute in her sweatshirt that was just a little too big for her. What is this, Flashdance? However, she's currently dating a cunt. Well, what the fuck are you doing over her house? All right, I'm back. I guess my recorder was almost filled up. Sorry about that. So now I had to fucking edit 2 things together, as always, making my life difficult. Anyways, yeah, so what are you doing over this person's house? She's dating somebody else. Anyway, he goes, he's a loser, no job, still gets an allowance, an expensive car that his mommy bought him, sits at home all day playing video games, getting stoned, and treats people like he's above them. She knows I hate him, and I openly mock him. In front of our friends, her and even him, like he got her this really generic but expensive looking heart shaped necklace. When she showed it to everyone, I looked at him and said loudly, wow, must have cost your mom quite a big, whatever that means. As you can imagine, he tries to avoid me. Yeah, well, you're being a fucking cunt. We share the same friends, and they hate him and like me, but mind you, I'm no prize either. I'm trying to get a job, unlike him. Oh, Jesus, you don't even have a fucking job, and I'm saving up for a car. So her choices are two guys who don't have a job and he has a rich mom. Well, there you go. I tend to be nice, a nice guy, but can at times piss people off with my jokes and even be a dick with my jokes. You sound like you're being a dick. I'm not saying you are, but you're being a dick to this guy. He's at least 3 inches taller than me and handsomer, better looking. I guess he's got this great smile that makes me want to fuck him up for that makes me want to fuck it up for him. But recently, I've started to turn my life around, quit beer, porn, and drugs. My grades are going up, applying for college, working out a lot. But all this in hopes of catching her eye. Like I said, she's my best friend and has a boyfriend, so I really don't know how to handle this. Any help from you and Neil would be greatly appreciated. Yeah, dude, I would start fishing in a different watering hole. All right? You know, for you to sit there and stand there and be a cunt to her boyfriend, talking about her boyfriend, and you're going over that over her fucking house, it sounds to me like you're as Chris Rock says, you're in the friend zone. So what you need is some time away from her. All right? Move on with your fucking life. Keep working out. Get your shit going. And who knows? You might just meet somebody else. And then eventually when she dumps this loser, she comes around and sees you. She'll be, oh my God, look at you. You're going to college. You look great. You've been working out. You don't watch porn. Who knows? Maybe it'll happen. But I can tell you it's definitely not going to happen if you're just going to be her friend and making snide remarks about her boyfriend. Come on, dude. You got to be better than that. That's just coming off like, you know, you're acting like a douche. I don't know how else to put it. That's not a strong move. All right? And you should have more going on in your life than to fucking be, you know, you should have more self-esteem than that. All right? Okay, she wants to date this fucking guy. Guess what? It's her loss. All right? So fuck it. Get on with your life. Keep working out. And work out for yourself. Go to college for yourself. Do all this shit for yourself. Feel good about yourself. You start putting out more of a positive vibe as opposed to, you know, hanging around her, shitting on her current boyfriend. I mean, that's just like, I don't know. That's not a good look. Okay? I believe in you. All right? Do what I just said or don't, because I don't have any professional training. All right, dumping my girlfriend, a Billy Billboard brow. Fucking asshole. That's another good one. Recent fan to your podcast, stand up and all that jazz. Anyways, I'm a 24-year-old dude, and I've been dating and living with my girl for almost 4 years now, and I finally had enough. She's a real downer and talks shit about people, including her friends, like it's an Olympic sport. Now, the problem is she lost her job a month ago. On account of her shit-talking, it hasn't exactly been going out and looking for a new one because she's anxious or whatever, leaving me to pick up her end of the bills. She didn't have any savings because she had picked up the habit of going out and drinking every night. I honestly wouldn't have a problem just up and leaving, but the apartment is a stone's throw from the beach, and my other roommate and I really don't want to leave. The fucking decisions people make.
It's right near the beach.
The other roommate is my best friend. Okay, she's got a lot of books and shit, and the bed is hers. So it would be a little difficult to do the old put all her stuff in a box trick. Deep down, I do still have love for her, so the idea of kicking her out hurts my heart, but I just can't deal with the endless drama and unhappiness. Would love to hear what your advice on the podcast. And as always, go fuck yourself. Yeah, the relationship has run its course and you need to go your separate ways. And sometimes when that happens, you know, somebody gets hurt. All right. But you're not doing her any favors if you don't want her to be with you and you're just wasting her and your time. So, you know, this is why you don't fucking live with somebody. Unless you know you're going to marry him. I don't know. Oh, boy. So what do you do? Break up with her and then tell her to move out all at the same time? Or are those two separate conversations? I just break up with her. And then let her bring up, where am I going to live? And I'd be like, well, I don't know. I mean, the coastline's pretty long, so I'm sure there's another beachfront apartment you could be in. I'm assuming your name's on the lease. Usually when there's a breakup, the guy has to leave and leave half his shit. So it seems like you're in a decent position here. Who wants a negative drunk without a job? I don't think you want that. Doesn't sound like you want it. I think the love you have for her was who she used to be or who you thought she was. So, and neither of those are happening right now. So it's time for you to tell her to hit the bricks. Happy New Year, sweetheart. Beat it. You can't say it like that. I just tell her, look, we need to talk. And sit down. She's going to be like, what's the problem? What's the problem? And you just got to fight through that fucking horrible feeling. There's nothing worse. The only worse than a woman crying is when she's about to cry. Because you still have hope that she's not going to cry. So you're on pins and needles. Once she's crying, you're like, ah, fuck. This sucks. But you kind of know what's going to happen. Yeah, you just got to sit her down and just say, listen, I'm not happy. This isn't working for me anymore. And we need to break up. All right? Just like that. Boom, boom, boom. And you got to get that out. You got to get all of that out. Don't sit there and be like, well, I don't know how to say this, and turn it into a 45-minute thing. Rip the Band-Aid off. Just rip it off. We need to talk. I'm not happy. We need to break up. Okay? You go into the two-minute offense. Okay? You don't get out of bounds. You keep the clock running. You want this game to be over. No. I don't know. Yeah, that's what I would do. That's what I would do. Just sit down and just say, all right, in 8 seconds, this relationship is going to be over. Okay? I'm on this side of the 8 seconds. All I do, how long does it take to say that? I'm going to time it right now. All right, we need to talk. I'm not happy. We need to break up. I just did that in like 5 seconds. And then she, well, what if we blah, blah, blah? No, I've made the decision. We need to break up. It's just not working for me. I don't love you the way I used to love you. That's, and what can they say about it? They can get mad. They can cry. They can do all that shit. But the thing is you conveyed it and you're out. Where am I going to live? I don't know. We'll figure that out. I guess that's the next thing we need to figure out. And, oh, is your life going to suck after that? But it's never going to suck more than staying in a fucking relationship you don't want to be in. All right? And that's one to grow on. Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you on Thursday. All right, I'm back. I guess my recorder was almost filled up. Sorry about that. So now I had to fucking edit two things together. As always, making my life difficult. Anyways. Yeah, so what are you doing over this person's house? She's dating somebody else. Anyway, he goes, he's a loser. No job, still gets an allowance, an expensive car that his mommy bought him. Sits at home all day playing video games, getting stoned, and treats people like he's above them. She knows I hate him, and I openly mock him in front of our friends, her and even him. Like, he got her this really generic but expensive-looking heart-shaped necklace. When she showed it to everyone, I looked at him and said loudly, wow, must have cost your mom quite a big, whatever that means. As you can imagine, he tries to avoid me. Yeah, well, you're being a fucking cunt. We share the same friends and they hate him and like me, but mind you, I'm no prize either. I'm trying to get a job, unlike him. Oh, Jesus, you don't even have a fucking job, and I'm saving up for a car. So her choices are two guys who don't have a job and he has a rich mom. Well, there you go. I tend to be nice, a nice guy, but can at times piss people off with my jokes and even be a dick with my jokes. You sound like you're being a dick. I'm not saying you are, but you're being a dick to this guy. He's at least 3 inches taller than me and handsomer. Better looking, I guess. He's got this great smile that makes me want to fuck him up for... that makes me want to fuck it up for him. But recently, I've started to turn my life around, quit beer, porn, and drugs. My grades are going up, applying for college, working out a lot. But all this in hopes of catching her eye. Like I said, she's my best friend and has a boyfriend, so I really don't know how to handle this. Any help from you and Neil would be greatly appreciated. I would start fishing in a different watering hole. All right? You know, for you to sit there and stand there and be a cunt to her boyfriend, talking about her boyfriend, and you're going over her fucking house, it sounds to me like you're as Chris Rock says, you're in the friend zone. So what you need is some time away from her. All right? Move on with your fucking life. Keep working out. Get your shit going. And who knows? You might just meet somebody else. And then eventually when she dumps this loser, she comes around and sees you. She'll be, oh my God, look at you. You're going to college. You look great. You've been working out. You don't watch porn. Who knows? Maybe it'll happen. But I can tell you it's definitely not going to happen if you're just going to be her friend and making snide remarks about her boyfriend. Come on, dude, you got to be better than that. That's just coming off like, you're acting like a douche. I don't know how else to put it. That's not a strong move. All right? And you should have more going on in your life than to fucking be, you should have more self-esteem than that. All right? Okay, she wants to date this fucking guy. Guess what? It's her loss. All right? So fuck it. Get on with your life. Keep working out. And work out for yourself. Go to college for yourself. Do all this shit for yourself. Feel good about yourself. You start putting out more of a positive vibe as opposed to, hanging around her, shitting on her current boyfriend. I mean, that's just like, I don't know. That's not a good look. Okay? I believe in you. All right? Do what I just said or don't, because I don't have any professional training. All right, dumping my girlfriend, a Billy Billboard brow. Fucking asshole. That's another good one. Recent fan to your podcast, stand up and all that jazz. Anyways, I'm a 24-year-old dude, and I've been dating and living with my girl for almost 4 years now, and I finally had enough. She's a real downer and talks shit about people, including her friends, like it's an Olympic sport. Now, the problem is she lost her job a month ago. On account of her shit-talking, hasn't exactly been going out and looking for a new one because she's anxious or whatever, leaving me to pick up her end of the bills. She didn't have any savings because she had picked up the habit of going out and drinking every night. I honestly wouldn't have a problem just up and leaving, but the apartment is a stone's throw from the beach, and my other roommate and I really don't want to leave. The fucking decisions people make.
It's right near the beach.
The other roommate is my best friend. Okay, she's got a lot of books and shit, and the bed is hers. So it would be a little difficult to do the old put all her stuff in a box trick. Deep down, I do still have love for her, so the idea of kicking her out hurts my heart, but I just can't deal with the endless drama and unhappiness. Would love to hear what your advice on the podcast. And as always, go fuck yourself. Yeah, the relationship has run its course, and you need to go your separate ways. And sometimes when that happens, somebody gets hurt. All right? But you're not doing her any favors if you don't want her to be with you, and you're just wasting her and your time. So, this is why you don't fucking live with somebody unless you know you're going to marry him. I don't know. Good boy. So what do you do? Break up with her and then tell her to move out all at the same time, or are those two separate conversations? I'd just break up with her. And then let her bring up, where am I going to live? And I'd be like, well, I don't know. I mean, the coastline's pretty long, so I'm sure there's another beachfront apartment you could be in. I'm assuming your name's on the lease. Usually when there's a breakup, the guy has to leave and leave half his shit. So it seems like you're in a decent position here. Who wants a negative drunk without a job? I don't think you want that. Doesn't sound like you want it. I think the love you have for her was who she used to be or who you thought she was. So, and neither of those are happening right now. So it's time for you to tell her to hit the bricks. Happy New Year, sweetheart. Beat it. You can't say it like that. I just tell her, look, we need to talk. And sit down. She's going to be like, what's the problem? What's the problem? And you just got to fight through that fucking horrible feeling. There's nothing worse. The only worse than a woman crying is when she's about to cry. Because you still have hope that she's not going to cry. So you're on pins and needles. Once she's crying, you're like, ah, fuck. This sucks. But you kind of know what's going to happen. Yeah, you just got to sit her down and just say, listen, I'm not happy. This isn't working for me anymore. And we need to break up. All right? Just like that. Boom, boom, boom. And you got to get that out. You got to get all of that out. Don't sit there and be like, well, I don't know how to say this, and turn it into a 45-minute thing. Rip the Band-Aid off. Just rip it off. We need to talk. I'm not happy. We need to break up. Okay? You go into the two-minute offense. Okay? You don't get out of bounds. You keep the clock running. You want this game to be over. No. I don't know. Yeah, that's what I would do. That's what I would do. Just sit down and just say, all right, in 8 seconds, this relationship is going to be over. Okay? I'm on this side of the 8 seconds. All I do, how long does it take to say that? I'm going to time it right now. All right, we need to talk. I'm not happy. We need to break up. I just did that in like 5 seconds. And then she, well, what if we blah, blah, blah? No, I've made the decision. We need to break up. It's just not working for me. I don't love you the way I used to love you. That's it. What can they say about it? They can get mad. They can cry. They can do all that shit. But the thing is you conveyed it and you're out. Where am I going to live? I don't know. We'll figure that out. I guess that's the next thing we need to figure out. And, oh, is your life going to suck after that? But it's never going to suck more than staying in a fucking relationship you don't want to be in. All right? And that's one to grow on. Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you on Thursday.